Welcome in, everybody. It is Inside the Gamecocks, the show. We're firing off here on a thirsty Thursday, live from the mountains to the sea in the great state of South Carolina, coast to coast, nationwide and worldwide via the Chief Sports Network app. I am, of course, Phil Mad Dog Mullinax, cutting through the orange fog of the upstate of South Carolina. He is J.C. Sherbert, my co-host, and we drug across the crossover with us, Rob Williams. May have seen him on SEC Sunday Night. Now also the latest co-host of Four Quarter Friday, exclusively on the Chief Sports Network. What's up, Rob? Welcome in.
Nothing good. Good to be here. Good to clown around with you guys for a little bit of time here, and it's good to be the official Chief Sports utility player and try to fill in any capacity that I can, which is a lot of fun for me, honestly.
UTL right. Beside your name on the roster, dude.
Yep.
anyway, so that money thing, we'll leave that on the crosstalk because I've got to find out more about that. I did want to share that I did get my Hulk hauling t-shirt in today. You can see the top of it.
Oh, yeah.
From Over the Top.
Love one that.
The best movies of all time. Sliced Alone. Robert Loggia is in it.
Oh, it's such a good movie.
Did you just order it, or is this part of the is this part of Nat's?
No, Nat's are dive bar shirts. This is 80s movies, so I ordered this one. It was a pretty good price, $19 or so. But anyway, decided to wear that today and all that good stuff. But did want to ask you something, Rob, right off the top. We were talking personnel yesterday, and you know we've talked spring ball and I put out I guess the last two episodes of Coffee. I've talked about, you know, the five on the rise and then the main dudes, which is basically who's the right now, who would you say is the best guy at each position? And then the idea behind that is that those people all need to have good years. Give me three guys in your opinion, or give me four, nice even number, two on offense, two on defense, that you believe if South Carolina is going to turn it, and I mean really turn it, not get to a bowl, have a you know, without putting a number on the record, have a year everyone will be happy about, almost everyone.
So are you looking yeah, for like
give me two name. Must play wells on either side of the ball, yep. Not the quarterback.
Yeah, I think on offense, there's the obvious answer is going to be somewhere on the offensive line, right? So I'll go with one there. I'm going to go with Shed Surratt just because of everything that I've heard about him from high school at Gaffney and being from the upstate and having some contacts up there. You know, there were some guys that talked to me about him. Some O-line, D-line trainer types that are in the upstate that knew him in high school and worked with him a little bit that have kind of talked about the hype around this kid for a long time. And now we've seen it, but we want him to continue to progress, right? And I think that's something that we can all say that we think is happening based on what we've heard out of this so far. But I think that he really has to step into it. We've had here at South Carolina some offensive linemen in the past few years that performed really well as freshmen. And then we saw a little bit of drop off. It's obviously a new regime in terms of coaching staff. And so I want to see him continue to pick it up and grow because they're going to have to be solid there. I talked to a contact yesterday who was in the building to watch them practice. And the quote that I got was, this offensive line is going to be better than people expect. And so I continue to think that group gives us reason for optimism. So I think, you know, that's the starting place for me. And then I'm looking at the wide receiver position. And this is hard to do, JC.
Oh, it's very difficult.
Because there's so many of them in there. And there's so many. I talked to a contact about that room yesterday as well. And it was more about who's not in the top group, more so than who was flashing and making plays. It was more of what's going on with some of these guys that could potentially get buried in that room. But I will take a page out of your book because I think that
the book of Sherb.
The book of Sherb.
You have to quote Sherb 5-6.
That's right. You know, you You mentioned Maisie Bennett in Coffee, and
he's, I did, and that's based on what Furry said about him, and that wasn't my opinion. But go ahead.
And I completely, you know, we've talked about this time and time again that I've been high on Maisie since he was in high school. He's the possession type of receiver that I expected to lead the team in receptions last year. Mm-hmm. I thought Harbor would probably lead the team in yards, but maybe Bennett would lead the team in receptions. And then you kind of have this coming on of Donovan Murph. And obviously, Dravius Jacobs got better, like you said. And then as the year went on, Jaden Sellers became kind of the guy that Lenoris was going to lean on. I think that Pup Sellers is a safety blanket for Lenoris, something that he hasn't really had across his time at South Carolina and continues to look there. But when I look at this group, you have an opportunity for a guy like Maisie Bennett to elevate the room. I expect big things out of Harbor and Nitro Tuggle based on what we've heard. And I think kind of where it is right now, maybe those two and Jaden Sellers are 1, 2, and 3, maybe. But I had to give my shout out to Maisie, but I'll go for my other player. I'm going to go back to what we wrote about in the roundtable a few weeks ago. And the one that intrigues me most in the spring is Jaden Gibson, because I think he brings something different to the room. My question there is, can he get out of this injury bug that he's had at Oklahoma for the past few years? But if he can, I think situationally he brings something to the group that allows them to throw that jump ball that maybe they don't have guys. You know, being from Union County, Shy Smith is near and dear to my heart in terms of smaller guys that can go up and get it. We saw that with Debo that didn't necessarily have the height. And so that's not to say that one of these guys, Lick Cyrus, can jump out of the gym. Maybe he becomes a guy that can go up and get one, a smaller stature. But at 6'5" and just kind of a leaper, I think that Jaden Gibson brings something in that red zone area. Maybe if you have a Brady Hunt on one side of the field and Gibson on the other, and then you run a little option something underneath, I don't know. That's just something for me that I think could take this offense over the top as opposed to what we've already seen. If Jaden Gibson can come on and do that. Then on the other side of the ball, you want comments here?
We're gonna get Phil's take, and then we're gonna, I'm gonna have a comment, and then
I'll do offense first.
And then we'll do defense.
Okay, got it.
We'll hold hands and sing kumbaya. No,
Rob's ready to go.
I love the. Yeah, you gotta rein Rob in. Sometimes.
I like that.
Yeah. Robbie Williams. Well, Robbie Williams got
gave that horse a kick, and it's just off
like,
and running.
Like Spurrier, like, oh, why don't you calm down a little bit, Rob? Yeah, he's still like, well, he's up, calm Rob? Down a little bit. on Surratt, yes, and my understanding is. And I think Shed Surratt, when you look at last year's team individually and some of the baffling individual showings, guys that got worse year to year, guys that were like lost, guys that one game would look great, one game wouldn't, you know, it was a roller coaster for Josiah Thompson last season. Shed was kind of consistent. Once he got healthy in the lineup, he's consistent. Was he perfect? No. But the probably the most consistent, that he pops out at right tackle and was consistent there. And my understanding is he's been playing left tackle with Peak out.
And right. He's looked
consistent there. Not perfect, but consistent. So I'm with you there. Jaden Gibson's interesting to me, too, because, you know, the question was to have a really good year. And Jaden's the type of guy they don't have. Now, that's like in that mold, like 6'4", 6'5"-ish, like Sidney Rice, Alshon Jeffrey height, not Mike Williams, T. Higgins type. Yeah, there's a difference. Mike Williams, great Clemson receivers. Mike Williams, great receiver, 6'3", 6'2", and 6'3". T. Higgins is 6'5", you know, and that's what kind of people liked about him. Nick Harbor is 6'5", but Nick Harbor's his own category. There's not really many people, even if he becomes an elite receiver and catches 70 passes next year, there's really nobody that's like him. Because he's not a springy, jumpy, power, small forward type guy. He's more of a big, fast, speed, kind of horse kind of guy, you know. Now, Xavier Leggett was that way. And then he developed the jump ball ability when he was a senior. But I still think Nick's at his best running deep routes, running crossing routes, and going upfield and running out running the defense. So those are very interesting. Phil, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I like the kind of like y'all were with wide receivers, and like there's somebody's going to emerge here and needs to step up. Like I'm looking at the running backs at the same way there. Like I think one of these guys is really going to have to come on. Well, I would think two ideally, but you know, somebody who maybe has had a depressed role in the past. And let's face it, last year's offense was not very conducive to allowing these guys to really shine behind that offensive game plan, that line. So I don't know. I'm leaning more on Juwan Howell here to kind of have a breakout. And I think it's important for him to do that. Like I know all these guys kind of have similar body types, you know, skill sets, but I think what we've seen from him in limited capacity, he has some of that explosiveness that you're going to need, because these holes are going to be there with just the way this offense works. Like it just is how it is. And I think he'll be able to get up in there and do it. I like Shed Surratt. That was one of the first name that popped into my head as, you know, who can step up to be a difference maker. So I'll kind of, you know, for the sake of going in a different direction, I think Brady Hunt is going to be an integral part of this offense over the next season and needs to continue to come on kind of like we saw later in the season once the offensive game plan changed. But yeah, looking at Hunt to really do some big stuff this year.
Yeah, when Kendall Browse was first hired, my question was, you know, because Brady's kind of your traditional tight end type.
Mm-hmm.
And then Pat DeMarco said something really interesting about, you know, how he would fit into this system. And I always let me, you know, Pat knows offense. And then you hear Sean Elliott talk about him and talk about how he's kind of the forgotten man almost, but that he does have some of the best hands on the team. So I like that. I like that a lot. So, and you mentioned Juwan Howell. I can't you know, every time I think, and I think right now Matt Fuller's probably got a slight lead.
Might be ahead. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think Christian Clark's right there. But, you know, every time I start thinking, well, Howell may be fourth, then you hear something about him that's good, then you hear something good about Isaiah Augustov.
Same, because he was the one, like, even a few weeks ago before spring, man. I'm like, yeah, four is going to break out. Like, Augustov's going to pop.
Yeah. And then, you know, Jabri Coleman, I think, had a blue jersey on the other day, which means he's banged up. And then Sam Dixon Williams is a guy that, you know, they brought in for depth from Ohio State that, you know, we'll see what he does. The running back position, to me, is one reason why I wish they had a spring game. Because in spring games, what they end up doing is handing it off to a bunch of them anyway. You can get a really good idea about running back in a spring game. All right, Rob, we'll go back to the other side of the ball. Give me your two.
Yeah, I think that if we're going to have a big year, you have to have that pass rush ability coming off both sides. So whoever ends up on the opposite of Dylan Stewart right now, I'm going to go Julian Walker. Just because I think that I think that he has a higher potential ceiling. Obviously, Caleb Herring's going to come in right now and be more polished because he's been in college for longer. But I think that Walker has the ability to take things to a higher level and maybe quickly. You know, we weren't talking about him in this way just a few weeks ago, and definitely not a few months ago, in him being this ready. But with his dad being on the staff, the strength staff, I think he's developed his body well. You know, I think that the machine that is Dutch Fork also prepares guys a little bit for this type of transition. But I had a contact tell me that they were watching practice, and Julian Walker made a mistake. And the way that he responded to coaching, I think, is one of the things which was very positive in everything that was said to me. I think that says a lot about his makeup and how he's going to approach learning and growing in this. And not only did he respond to it positively right there in the moment, but the next opportunity he was given, I think I can't repeat the phrase of how he how he attacked the offensive lineman on the next play, but he messed him up, I think, was basically what I was told.
I heard he got the best of Shed Surratt a couple times the other day. At left tackle too. You know, he's the biggest edge, like weight wise, if you go by the roster. I mean, it's not by much, a few 5 pounds, but six, it's six, three, there's nobody listed at edge with that weight, you know. And then, but you know, every time I want to like anoint him as the starter, I hear 15 great things about Caleb Herring.
Yep.
And I've you know, look, this is eyeball test, and I shouldn't even talk about the eyeball test, but hell, it's spring practice. Caleb Herring looks like a freak. Like, he looks like physically kind of like we rated Ricky Sapp, who went to Clemson, a five-star out of Bamberg Earhart. He really wasn't a five-star at the end of the day. But that build of a guy, the lean guy, when they start to fill out, they look like Caleb Herring. That was the idea with Sapp. And, you know, and then you hear Deion Barnes talk about how he plays the run really well, too. That's important to me. So I don't know. That's why in my top dudes, I had an or. I don't like to do ors, but I was like, I just really can't. I flip a coin. But that's,
I didn't give you an or because you made me pick two. So I can't pick both of them. So that's why I picked Walker. And then I think the other one for me is, you know, three people this week have mentioned Jazavian Currents to me. And I think that you're right about in what you said recently in Peyton Williams kind of being the guy back there right now. But, you know, midway through the season, does Jazavian overtake somebody and end up starting back there and just wreak havoc? Because he's got all the physical tools, and then everything that I hear about him in terms of his love for the game and his preparation and just being a sponge, I think is, and some of that's been said publicly and some of that's been said to me privately. And, you know, I think that he has the potential. I'm very hesitant to say Nick Emenwori in terms of throwing somebody in early and getting it going from that position. But a lot of people are going to use that comparison just because of size and the true freshman and the ability to step in and make a difference early. If this team is going to be great,
mm-hmm.
I think that you have to have somebody that has just the elite physical tools, that stuff that you can't coach, and then has the understanding and the ability to play fast and go get it. And I think that he's that guy back there.
The thing about Nick that I think is hard to replicate for young players is from day one, how good he was against the run. And it's also hard to replicate for tall players in the secondary because you have to get low. I mean, it's a leverage game. Beamer did mention Currents making a good open field tackle the other day. That was encouraging. But that's the, you know, ball skills wise and the ability to kind of run around back there and play in space. I think he can do that. It's going to be interesting. You know, I've heard Peyton Williams has been outstanding this spring in many, many ways. And that, you know, the expectation is he'll follow the path of great as a senior, you know, with a lot of defensive backs around there going, start with O'Donnell Fortune and count backward. But I can't say DQ Smith had a great year as a senior, but I can say most of them did.
We've seen good things out of Peyton his whole career.
Yeah, right? I mean, it's just been inconsistent. And then there's plays where you go, man.
Exactly.
And I don't know that last season wasn't just simply that Nick Emenwori wasn't back there, and he erased so much. But then there's another guy. David Busey's on the other side right now. I think he's kind of the first man up. So maybe Currents could – maybe it's Currents and Williams. Maybe that's what it's going. I have not gotten any indication in my conversations that Kendall Daniels Jr. has made a move to start, which I don't want to say is disappointing. I mean, he's only in his second year, but he's working and getting better and all that. But that's another 6'4 guy with physical – ability. I agree. The more freaks you have back there, the better, dude. And so you get no argument from me. Phil?
I'm going to start with Justin Okoronkwo. In that,
speaking of freaks.
Yeah, I mean, right. You know, what we saw out of him at times last year was being able to get to the edge quickly to shut down things like, you know, outside runs, Blew up a couple of screenplays we saw. I mean, this guy has freakish athletic ability, and I think it is a great compliment to what we saw out of Fred Johnson and then Sean Murphy coming out of, you know, towards the end of the season, where I think, listen, Fred in a straight line is hard to beat, right? You're not, I mean, he's got that speed right there. I think Okoronkwo adds that lateral ability that's going to maybe be able to help if we're not as tight on the edge at stopping the run as we'd like to be. Now, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say he's twitchy. Like, yeah. Justin Okoronkwo is twitchy. Not that Fred and Sean aren't, but
no,
it's there's a little bit more there.
And I think what we've heard about Fred and Sean is that they're really trying to pull the leadership ability out of them. So I love this pick, Phil, that you picked the other one, right? Because it is a three-headed monster. And if you're seeing – if we're getting comments that Sean Murphy and Fred Johnson are kind of stepping up as leaders – Who's got to be the other guy on that middle tier of the defense that's got to bring it every single time? All three of them have the ability to perform at a level that puts this linebacking core somewhere that we haven't really seen.
Yeah,
if they all three are at the top of their game, and it's going to take that, I think, to have a special year.
I may have been a year ahead of myself on these guys.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were inconsistent. There were some plays where, and somebody on X talked about Fred Johnson and said, well, he loafs. It looks like that. I'm not going to gaslight you and tell you you're not seeing that, because it looks like that. But when linebackers are unsure, they get hesitant and they look slower than molasses. Yeah. So much of how you evaluate that position is based on lateral movement and instincts, which is almost impossible, you know, but the linebackers take what's called false steps. That gets you in trouble. In other words, you need to react to the play and almost feel where the ball's going. Okay. If your feeling is wrong and you think it's going right and you step to the right and that's going left, then you're going to look slow. Like you just didn't even care to go track it down.
Right.
And then there's the normal, like, after the play's over, you see a guy jogging and stuff. But that happens all the time. But hopefully Fred can play like he played against Virginia Tech every single game.
Yeah, consistently, yeah, for sure.
And then that's the second part of that is Clayton White did mention he's practicing both at the mic and the will.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to cross-train. And I think that's smart, because – if you're just going to roll them in and out, you just play both of them. You know, I mean, whoever can play both, that's good. All right, Phil, your next defensive standout stud. Oh,
like, I see a lot of D tackles getting love in here, and I agree with that. But that being said, I think if this team is really going to stand out and jump off the page, right, I think Judge Collier needs to be the guy that we all expected him to be before he went down with the injury in game one last year. I mean, if you can lock down both corners and allow Quasheed Scott to be able to play with the versatility at that nickel that we've seen out of him, and then that three-headed beast from the corner and coverage perspective is going to pay mightily, especially if the pass rush is half as good as we all expect it to be. This is going to be a team that you're not going to want to throw on.
I'll give you the old Family Feud response there, Phil. Good answer. Good answer.
Good answer. Good answer. Like, yeah.
Show me.
I like Judge Collier, and you're right. Like, if you're able to lock down both sides of the field with he and Vakari Swain, then that changes things. And I think too, like, this defense, and we've all heard really good things about them, but the change on the offensive side of the ball for me kind of shines a different light on this defense. Not that I don't think the offense is going to be successful, but we've talked about this when facing Tennessee before. If you can get them into a couple of three and outs, it moves so fast on offense that your defense doesn't get much time off the field. Now, last year they spent the whole game on the field anyway, so maybe my point is moot. But I love the fact that they're athletic, and they're long, and they're fast. they're going to need to put other teams in tough situations and quick three and outs to kind of conserve, because at some point a fast offense is going to go three and out and you're going to have a quick turnaround.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. That's why depth is important, especially D tackles, the big guys. And you know, we spent all year talking about the offense last year, and you know, so obviously it's a completely different idea this season. And one of the things I like about it is, not just because it's aggressive, creative, and fun, but it just fits with what Clayton does on defense.
Yeah.
A lot of defensive coordinators, they don't want this kind of offense because they don't want to, you know, they don't want to get drug all over the field and be out there and play all these plays. But Clayton White's defense, it's a high risk. I don't know about high risk. They take more risk.
Creative and fun, right? Yeah, I mean, it kind of matches your offense. Yeah.
Well, they take more risk than most, you know, and so it does give up big plays from time to time. It's also designed to limit scoring, not necessarily drives, right? And it's also been proven over 5 years that, you know, they can force turnovers. That's a huge part of it. South Carolina's been as good as anybody at doing that. And so when you can turn the other team over, get the ball back to your offense is actually scoring points, then in that situation, what coordinators can do is they can get real creative. It's like, all right, I'm going to – instead of like – okay, so they, remember they sent the double corner blitz against Bama and it worked?
Yes.
And actually down the field, I think Cisse or somebody had – the guy that would have been open, they had some coverage on him. It probably wouldn't have been complete anyway. But sometimes you do that, and it's a touchdown for the other team because they recognize it. There we go. Sorry. But you can dial things like that up if your offense is going up and down the field scoring points, guys, because they're just going to get the ball right back and score anyway. Alabama's defense, when they went from 3 yards in a cloud of dust to what Kiffin started doing and ultimately – Alabama's defense started giving up more points. They didn't have any less NFL talent. Saban wasn't any less of a good coordinator. But I think it fits. I think everything schematically kind of fits together now. The defensive tackles in particular, you know, one thing Will Muschamp said when he was here, and he was right, and Brad Lawing said it before him in a different way. The big guys get gassed. You can't always get them back.
Yeah.
And here's what I'm excited about. I heard a nice little tidbit about Jordan Thomas, and I actually got a schedule to go out on X later today. Jordan Thomas is a guy Darren Usher told us is how you draw him up in the SEC. He came from Georgia. The word on him from Georgia, I said this on Coffee today, was, behind some other guys, you know, got to get his motor going. Same things you heard about Monkel Goodwin and Gabriel Brownlow did, quite frankly. I think kind of when you consider you have Brownlow Dindy, you've got Tomiwa Adurajaye, you got Troy Pikes, and then you've got Kelby Collins. You know, those kind of in your mind, well, you got four, barring injury, right? So who's your fifth and sixth guy so you can rotate five or six instead of three or four? Well, if that's Jordan Thomas and not a true freshman or a redshirt freshman, that's better. Wouldn't you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because then you can really go six. Because then that true then Noah Clark or Aiden Harris, who can get some snaps, or Christian Ingram or Caleb Williams, then you can go six, you know. And that's very beneficial, especially if you play this style of offense and maybe you do have a bad day. I mean, from what I've seen out of these systems, they tend to put points on the board and put up a lot of yards against the teams they should. They don't always do it against great defenses in the SEC. You look at Arkansas when Kendall was there. You look at Tennessee, like you mentioned. In the SEC, it's a fact of life. You're going to play low-scoring games sometimes. I think the idea is to get an offense that doesn't hurt you, that's capable of scoring at times.
Right, yeah, that can.
Unlike last year. But, you know, so the depth at D-tackle, Rob, I think that's something. When you talk about a differentiator, like not just a turnaround, but a big turnaround.
Yep.
You know, that could be a difference. And I told Bill King today during my segment, because they asked what's one thing about spring practice. I mentioned this. I said that could be significant. And the other thing is, it sounds crazy because they lost two starters up front last year at D tackle. I think this unit already is tracking toward being better. Clayton White's already said it's deeper. Mm-hmm. They got Travion Robertson back. I would think that that would be, Rob, a position overall that you could point to go, yeah, well, there could be a difference right there on the defensive side of the ball.
Well, it's the difference between 2024 and 2025, right? Because the guys that were in there 2 years ago were able to rotate in that way, and they were all older guys, and some of them were names that have gone on to the NFL, and some played well. You know, TJ Sanders obviously comes to mind, Tonka comes to mind, but there's other guys in there, and we can look across the history of Gamecock football, right? And we talk about this with Spurrier a lot, is that across that defensive front, especially, there were some guys in there that are not the big names that live on, right? But we can go back and recall guys along that front that made plays mm-hmm. because they were freed up to do so, and they weren't 4 or 5-star blue chip guys, and they didn't go on and do something after their career at South Carolina, but it was impactful, and it was a difference maker for those teams. And you're right, JC. I think that this year, the thing about Clayton White saying it's deeper that's a piece that really gives me a lot of hope and confidence. And overall, I think that this defense has the ability to be really, really good. And yeah, I don't want to put the garnet glasses on and get too overhyped about it or pump sunshine or anything, but multiple people have said to me that they think that have watched this team year in and year out and had opportunities to see them at this point in the season are just looking at where they're at in practice. And that comes up, that just as a unit, the whole team, the whole defense, not just any one particular group, but the way that they're, the way that they're playing looks better than maybe what we've seen. And one contact I know has been to and looked at 6 or 8 Power 4 teams in the spring. And so you're comparing to other teams that are at that level.
Oh, good. Yeah. That's DTAC. Yeah. That's it. Look, it's not sunshine pumping when you look and you go, well, you've got 3 linebackers that are 6'3" plus and 230 pounds that run 4.5. Those are facts. Now, whether or not you win games, that's what people care about. But I do like the personnel. I like the front 7 in general. Now, you do have to consider the depth at corner. And I think the depth at edge needs to come along. You know, Dylan Stewart will be back. Hopefully he doesn't aggravate anything, but you do have to factor that in anytime you have a back injury. If you took him out of the equation like this spring, it gets real dicey at edge in a lot of ways. Not that they can't be good there. So they need him healthy, just like on offense. Offensive line, there are a little more question marks where you don't have Jacarius Peak, right? So it's important for those two to get back. But I did think kind of the key to me bringing this up today was the Jordan Thomas tidbit, because the upside and the athleticism and what made him a top 100 prospect, it's there. It's there. And like South Carolina does sometimes, the idea is to get it out of him. So
and this is not to discredit Jordan Dove or Jameel Walker last year, but you can't overstate the value of Travion Robertson being back and coaching these guys up. That's an intangible piece kind of that might fly under the radar nationally and maybe even across the SEC, but it's definitely not lost on the Gamecock faithful how impactful it is to have him back on the field.
And I thought Jordan and Walker did a great job with Nick and Monkel, but those guys are kind of self-starters. They were seniors, they were older. You know, and then you got Brownlow Dindy, they did a good job. Troy Pikes came on. But what Travion has this year is you have Pikes and Brownlow Dindy coming back. But then you've got older transfers you have to maximize.
Yeah.
And taking those guys that extra mile sometimes is harder than getting them to be able to be on the field as true freshmen because they've got habits they got to break and stuff like that. So I feel confident in that group. I really do. All right, I'm going to read all these answers in the chat box. When we get back, we will say goodbye to Rob. Let you get ready for Four Quarter Friday
tomorrow. You got it. You got it. We have, like I said, great show tomorrow. Andy Hallett, Leon Boulware. We'll talk baseball. We'll talk football. And then we have LSU on SEC Sunday night this Sunday, too. So make sure that you catch us on Easter Sunday I don't know how we landed on that mess on Easter.
LSU, but, it's a resurrection, my friend.
Yeah, something like that.
The Cajun like resurrection.
That. I'm not sure that cast of characters is comparable to
my goodness.
Part of the Bible. I mean, there's plenty of characters in the Bible that we might.
Yeah, I mean, dude,
that group down there.
Redemption and forgiveness are very huge themes.
With the exception of Ed Orgeron, who everybody just kind of loved because he's kind of this character, LSU has finally matched like the personalities of at least three of their coaches, Will Wade, Lane Kiffin, and Kim Mulkey, with their fan base.
Oh, they love it. It's exactly how they want it to be. Everybody that I talked to down there.
What this Will Wade now? Will Wade.
They're right in line with it. They
you're gonna get some Kiff on.
They embrace the villain arc, that's for sure. So
well, good luck to them. We'll wish them the best of luck down in Baton Rouge. Anyway, thanks, Rob. Appreciate you, man.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, man.
And we'll be back. Phil, I guess you got a double here. Let's double here.
Yeah, I got one. My short one comes up, so that's good. We got a little one and then a.
All right, so you got a double. All
right. Yeah, we'll double.
I've got two things I've got to go do real quick.
Right.
All right, man. We'll be back on the show on a smorgasbord, pseudo smorgasbord Thursday is what we're calling it. Back after this.
Hey, this is Cornbread Cowboy, and you're listening to the show. We'll be right back.
Looking for a compact SUV? Have you thought about a Kia? A Kia Sportage from JT's Kia is just what the doctor ordered. A spacious SUV for the price of a compact car, loaded with the tech you won't find anywhere else in this price range. More features, better warranty, and thousands less than a comparable Honda or Toyota. But that's not all. You also get the JT's Advantage, nearly $2,000 in bonus benefits to make your choice crystal clear. When you're shopping for your next vehicle, think about a brand new JT's Kia.
JT's Kia Rock Hill.
Palm Casual Patio Furniture are proud supporters of our Gamecocks. We have been making and supplying the highest quality outdoor furniture you can find for almost 5 decades. If you use your outdoor space to watch the Gamecocks, make it the best it can be. Visit palmcasual.com or visit one of our 4 locations in South Carolina. Go Gamecocks!
The Aventon Adventure 2 takes the same basic design as the original Aventon Adventure, making it an adventure bike designed to take you places that typical roads just don't reach, allowing you to ride whatever terrain you want based on your whims of the day. Look at what you're getting. Hydraulic disc brakes, torque sensor for responsive pedal assist, great LED lighting, suspension, a beautifully welded frame with excellent build quality, included rear rack, included fenders. The list just keeps going on.
Visit electricbikescharleston.com for more.
Gamecock Traditions is your one-stop shop for all things South Carolina. From apparel to tailgating, children's clothing to kitchenware, jewelry, or even gift cards. If it exists, it exists at Gamecock Traditions. Ship it to your home via gamecocktraditions.com or go see our friends in Lexington. Gamecock Traditions, a family tradition. Go Gamecocks.
Sell your quality sports and fitness equipment to Play It Again Sports and get paid. Recycling your in-demand sports gear keeps it available in your community. Sell, buy, trade, and win with Play It Again
Sports! Watch JC and Morgan every week on the Chief Sports Network. Now back to ITG. Coffee, weekday mornings with J.C. Sherbert. Watch or listen on the Chief Sports app, the Chief Sports YouTube page, available on Apple and Spotify.
When you buy and sell your sports and fitness gear at Play It Again Sports, you support a local business. We pay our customers for their quality used sports and fitness gear and resell it, recycling it back into your community. Support local, score savings. Play It Again
Sports! So, Mason, what do you focus on in the law? My answer to that is I'm a personal injury lawyer. I like to help people that are injured as a result of somebody else's negligence or in a workers' compensation matter get back to normal. That's where my passion is. But what I want everyone out there to understand is more important to me is that I'm your trusted resource for any problem that you may have.
Visit westlawfirmsc.com.
Palm Casual Patio Furniture presents our coverage of South Carolina baseball and softball. Visit palmcasual.com today. Make your outdoor space the best it can be. Go Gamecocks! Visit GamecockTraditions.com and get your gear today. They'll ship it to your doorstep. Go Gamecocks!
And now back to the show.
Welcome back, everybody, inside the Gamecocks, the show here on a pseudo smorgasbord Thursday. Yeah, Alex Jones not able to make it in with us. He's covering his team. Yeah, but he will be in tennis. tomorrow.
It is a big tennis battle royale today.
Yeah, I saw that. I was why is he
LSU? I wonder how their tennis coach is. I wonder if it's like John McEnroe.
John McEnroe. That's right. That's
my goodness.
John Daly's gonna take over the golf job and the golf job.
He's an Arkansas fan. That's true.
Yeah, probably avoid that.
So the big question we tackle with Rob, who are some important players that the next levelers, so to speak, we'll call it that, the chat box, the McKellar Enterprises ITG chat box has a lot to say about that. I did want to mention the Toby Cates picture that we looked at in the crossover. I think that was from the CarQuest Bowl, by the way.
Yeah, it is.
CBS Sports. Back then, it was a huge deal to be on CBS. South Carolina was on CBS for the Gator Bowl in 87. Was not on CBS again until this game was January 1st, 1995. So, there you go.
I love the old Raycon picture in the back, too. That's what it drew my eye. Yeah. There's everything about this says 90s football.
I think Raycon was a sponsor of that bowl game. I think they actually created it. It was called like some kind of sunshine. It was the Hall of Fame. Well, let me think. Was that the bowl that went? It was the Blockbuster Bowl to begin with.
Oh, nice.
and so then it became the CarQuest Bowl, but I think Raycom was the back then ESPN didn't own. I think Raycom actually owned some bowls. I think they had the Independence Bowl too. Anyway, he said he sacked Toby Cates in a high school scrimmage. He said, good tackle, dude. Yeah. Toby was a high school quarterback for Chapman, not a receiver. So there we go. Craiger says Jaden Sellers. Yeah. And look, here's the thing. You know, I think last year, because, you know, we talk about Lenoris needing to get comfortable with all of his receivers. I don't think he was with many of them. I do think he was with Pup because it's his brother. And here's my thing. If he continues to be comfortable with Pup this year, my answer is I don't care that he's his brother.
Right. Just, are they productive? You know, is it working? Doesn't matter.
Is he here? You know. And Craiger says Matt Fuller. Yeah, the running back thing's just kind of – I mean, I'm going to say this. Like I said, if I were a betting man right now, I think Matt's got an advantage. I think he's been running really well. The rest of them, I don't know. I mean, they've all done good, well. Done good, done well.
Yeah.
I've gotten positive feedback on just about every one of them. But that's that room and wide receiver past a certain point, past the top, it's hard to discern, which could be a good thing because you need depth at running back, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, two or three is definitely what you're going to go into game with, you know. Yes.
Brawl said three or four, and yeah, I believe him. I believe him. JDS is center on offense. That's going to be Carter Miller unless something crazy happens. But, yes, dude.
Yeah, I was leaning that way, too, because after last year, you just need some competence there.
Of all things.
I know.
Of all the other stuff that was going wrong, the center position was just a disaster. This is the best they – and it was the best they could do.
Right. I know. I know.
You know? And it's the type of thing people can blame the evaluation of Boaz and all that, but how do you pick up on that? How do you evaluate? That's all mental,
right?
Which is kind of coaching when you get right down to it. Lance says Hank the Tank Purvis. Yes,
yeah.
Now, I tell you what, big boy Baymax is he's 30 pounds leaner and meaner. He's at left guard, you know, and every time I've gotten an update on the O-line, he's at left guard. So, I mean, I heard he's mean as hell.
Really? Me
and Carter Miller are mean as hell.
I catch that vibe from Miller, but it's like just looking at Purvis's pictures and whatnot.
Yeah, they look different.
It's like a speedo guy, you know? Yeah.
Carter's got tats and back tats and like he rides a motorcycle. I mean, you know, Purvis just looks like, you know, like a farm boy.
Yeah, right.
He's from Kansas. Now, Wichita's a metropolitan area. He's not a Kansas farm boy, but he's from Kansas. Mm-hmm. It looks like somebody from Kansas.
Yeah, right.
Very light-skinned people all over. Everybody I've ever met from Kansas, very light-skinned
people. No.
They don't tan.
No, this it's white or red. This guy burns, I bet. Like, yeah.
Yeah, dude. He needs – Baymax needs some sunscreen. but he's actually done really well. So there you go. Ben says Carter Miller. Can't disagree. Ben back in the chat box. Curious to get his thoughts on basketball when we get to that conversation here a little bit. Lance says for the first time in a while, I'm actually excited for this O-line. I will share with you, and don't put this on the X account.
Okay.
It's just for our audience.
Just between us. Yeah.
I'll share with you one tidbit I got from a contact that was in practice earlier today. Said the offensive line had a really, really good day. And then you combine that with what Rob Source said about this group's going to be better than you think. What does that mean? I'm going to continue to say what I always say. I just hope they're competitive. Don't be a huge liability. Don't get your quarterback sacked 45 times because – if that happens, you can run all the tempo you want, but and all the great plays you want, and have a great play caller and a great scheme of things, you're not going very far. And then you are going to kill your defense because you're going to lose the vertical field position battle.
That's right. We're going to lose.
Another Muschampism there. and you're going to, and it's just going to put everybody in a bad spot.
Yeah.
But, you know, like G.A. Mangus said the other day, though, on the morning show, tempo offensive linemen love tempo because they can get lined up and the defense has to stay in base. There's not as much. This whole offense is designed around don't think, just go play.
Right.
Which I think is smart for college kids. Oh, Harrison chimes in. Carter Miller, the center, and the edge opposite Dylan, whoever that may be. I'll just say Herring for the purposes of the game. Would you like to play a game? I'd say I like, you know, Herring and Walker have been really good. I've heard Anthony Addison's had a good spring too. And outside of Drew Collins, those are the only three that are repping.
Right.
Clint has not read a single spring practice report yet. Are you not on the, did you not get the intel briefing from the weekend of the newsletter, Clint? Poo. I plan on digging at some point in fall practice. I understand. You don't want to get overly excited.
What's in a spring?
We've got to talk about it, though, and we got to talk about who's doing well and possibilities. So, Lance doesn't care though. He thinks he's ready to. These guys are like the hogs from the Redskins.
That's right.
This group's salty as hell.
Man, if they roll that group out there, if this group looks like that,
this group is not going to look as
good.
The eyeball. I mean, you saw South Carolina's offensive line last year. It's like 6'6", 6'5". Like, my God.
Yeah, but if they play nasty,
but these guys are going to probably play a little better. you know. And I think, you know, Gregor said Peyton Williams and Fred Johnson. Yeah.
I like that.
They could get the normal maximization out of Peyton, then that'll be good. Because it's true, he has made plays. He has, you know, at times. So that's the deal there. And then Fred Johnson, of course, we talked about. Harrison says wide receiver is my favorite position group on this team. That room's gonna have a really good year collectively. I hope so. Yeah, it's just hard to kind of look at it and go, well, who? Because one thing that they may go eight deep in a game, but in this offense, there's always a pecking order if you look at the statistical history. And it's always kind of, it's very consistent. You'll have like one guy with 80 catches, one guy with 65, one guy with 40. So that's kind of how it's designed. So we'll see. Lance said it's time to set Pup and Mazio free and let them work in space. Yeah, that's important. Craiger said Murph at 6'2", plays like 6'4". Yeah, now Murph can go up and get it. So can Jordan Gitteron. So can Malik Clark.
Yeah.
Malik Clark, somebody we don't talk about a whole lot that we should, as far as that goes. Clint says, I would have liked to have seen what Brian Rowe could have done in this offense. Clint, you want to talk about a guy that's about 5'11 that can go up and get it? It's definitely Brian Rowe.
Yep.
And yeah, talent-wise was not a problem. He had some off-the-field stuff and just – you know, some guys, and this goes to show you sometimes in recruiting, you know, because Georgia came after him, North Carolina, all these schools came after him, tried to flip him the whole time, right? Never wavered. Was one of the earliest commits to South Carolina. Love South Carolina. Love everything about South Carolina. Got here and things didn't go his way. Part of it was his own doing, and he left. He's gone, and that happens often. In college, especially with the portal now.
Well, it shows how you truly can't even, like, because a lot of people are like, oh, you're over-recruiting that position group. I'm like, no, you can't over-recruit in these days.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Ben says Matt Fuller's going to have a huge year, and he goes, Mike Tyler has a chance to thrive under Browse too. Mike Tyler, I mentioned him this morning. Where was it? Yesterday. It was this morning. Five on the Rise was the topic of coffee. I have not had a very many conversations where somebody doesn't mention something about Mike Tyler.
Nice.
Which is good. Harrison misunderstood the game. My two on offense are Miller and running back one. Now, the rules are loose, Harrison. I thought you answered that. My two on offense are Miller and whoever the running back one is. I'll go with Fuller. Defense, Herringer, Walker, and Peyton Williams. Yeah. That safety spot's going to be important. Craig says a D tackle needs to have a great year. Brownlow, Dendy, or Pikes. The question with that, Phil, is this. Can anybody be TJ Sanders? Good.
Right.
That's going to be hard. But if you get Gabriel Brownlow, Dendy playing at a high level, it doesn't have to be as consistent as TJ Sanders. That's a problem for opposing offenses.
For sure. Yeah.
Very big problem.
Well, it's interesting when you look at the types of players that are available in like the six names that we rattled off earlier that you did. It's like these are different guys. Like you have some guys who potentially could be the TJ Sanders types. There's a couple of names on here that you could easily see fill into that kind of like Tonka Hemingway athleticism, kind of quick speed kind of deal. I like it. I'm not worried about that position group, right? Even though there's a lot of new names and faces in that room, but it's one of the ones where I look at and I'm like, it breathes a little easier when you look at who's in there, what we've heard, and the experience that was needed, but they went out and were successfully able to add to this roster.
Yeah, I think that the Jordan Thomas, if he can keep coming along and be that fourth, fifth guy in the rotation, I think Durajaye is going to actually start ahead of Pike, so I wouldn't write that in pen.
Right.
But I would think right now Brownlow, Dindy, and Durajaye will be the two starters with Pikes and Kelby Collins behind them. But, I mean, Kelby Collins has played at Florida and Alabama. I mean, he's got tons of experience. So, yeah, I'm with you there. Ben loves Troy Pikes. We all do.
Yeah.
We love Troy. We love Troy Pikes. JD has looked up. Brian Rowe went to UCLA. wild transfer for North Carolina high school guy. I would imagine there may have been some relationship with the James Madison coach. Maybe. Hey, UCLA's got a lot of talent on their campus.
Very much.
Oh, yeah. Clint says, my favorite guys coming out of high school in last year's class were Daniels and Dodd to go along with Walker. Jamil Walker. Who was Walker in the last class? 25. I don't know. Daniels and Dodd. Yeah, Dodd has been a little banged up, so he's probably behind a little bit. He is, but he and George Wilson and Kobe Saki Prah will all be back with Dylan Sears. There's four guys missing from the edge room right now.
Right, yeah.
So that's the deal there. JD has mentioned Ricardo Hurley. This is a good example of linebacker. Super fast in a straight line, but couldn't move laterally to save his life. Yeah. Same thing kind of happened to DeMario Jeffrey. Tight hips. Craiger says Debo Williams fault stepped a good bit. Yeah, that's why in 2024, he was kind of in the box most of the time because you had Knight and Martin Scott on either side of him, and they were so good on the edge. He could just kind of get upfield and make plays.
Yeah.
Harrison has an observation on Judge Collier. Hadn't played at the same high level since he got banged up at the end against Missouri and had tough moments against Clemson that year and last year. Oh, there were some tough moments in coverage against Clemson both years.
Yeah.
I don't know how much of that's Clemson's receivers. Some of them are really good. They actually got up for the game. But we'll see. You know, you got to cover. Dodd, more from Clint on Dodd. Clint, for those of you that don't know, actually scouted Dodd in high school and lives near there and certainly has a good eye for talent. 6'6", 240, serious length. Can't coach that. Look forward to seeing how he progresses. Daniel, just really big in athletic safety. I think we have options at safety. You do. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things where you got the big freaky guys, but at safety, you have to know where you're going and what you're doing. You got to know where you go, know what you're doing.
What you're doing.
You better not think that you are Nick Emmanuare.
Right.
If you get out of position, Toy and Gray's going to kick your butt. So that's what's going on there. But I'd love to see, you know, look, man, they wouldn't have moved Gerald Kilgore to nickel if
they didn't feel like they needed him at safety. Right. Yeah.
Of course, the other side of that is that, yeah, because I don't want to speak for anybody here, but the other side of that is maybe they did that because Quasheed Scott can go out to corner if they need. And that's in the depth at corner, so I don't know. Judge, if he gets back there, Harrison says he's a potential top three rounds draft guy. Lots of potential there. Yeah, and he's talked about that in an interview this offseason. And I think the awareness of hey, I didn't do well last year.
Mm-hmm.
Compare that to some of the guys that just left the basketball program on the men's side. Self-awareness will get you a long way in life.
That is true. Yeah.
And judging, and he said he just didn't feel the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that the knee and all that. Now, whatever happened at the end of 2024, I'd have to go back and look at like the Illinois game and see. There were times in those games, Illinois, I think included, where he was in man coverage and just got beat, or the other guy just made a play. He had coverage and he just made a play like the touchdown that would have lived in infamy in South Carolina football history in a negative standpoint was Luther Burden catching that ball against Kilgore. Mm-hmm. Kilgore, there's literally nothing Jalen Kilgore could have done. No.
Perfect ball placement. I mean, you can't.
Yeah, perfect that. Coverage.
You just tackle on a
guy that's a stud.
Yeah,
it's a stud.
Yeah,
it's just tip your cap. Craiger says Williams and Ingram need big summers for depth. Yeah. I think Clark and Harris are going to have something to say about that too. Craiger said, did Boogie make a team? I think he was with the Dolphins practice squad, wasn't he?
I think he did get signed to a practice squad. Yeah.
JDS says, got to have a healthy Darlin Stewart to have a huge year on defense. To have a huge year? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Can they still be good? Probably. Ben says Will Wade couldn't handle Tobacco Road. And Harrison adds, he's a Clemson alum. He is. A Clemson alum needs, Clemson man needs no introduction. You know, there's these like weird connections between South Carolina and Florida football with coaches, a couple coaches that have coached back and forth and things like that, including, you know, probably the most legendary Gators coach and one of the most infamous Gators coaches.
That's right.
Clemson and LSU basketball share a connection as well, in addition to Will Wade. Pete Maravich grew up part of his life in Central. You know that?
Really? I did not know that.
Pistol Pete.
Pistol Pete.
Now, Google that to make sure I'm not dreaming about
no,
that.
No, I think you're right. Because once
fact
you
check
said
me
that,
on that, but I do think Pete Maravich is in
Clemson. Yeah.
Ben says, I think State hit a home run with Justin Gainey. His recruiting ties in North Carolina, South Carolina are strong. Track record under Barnes and Miller is good. If Carolina had gone the assistant route, I would have liked him. Yeah, I think he's a stud. I think he's really good. And look, I always thought
you're even better. Pistol Pete's dad was the head basketball coach at Clemson. Yeah.
Right, yeah, there you go. Yeah, Justin Gainey's good. And I always kind of thought Barnes, because he's from Hickory, one of those North Carolina jobs would have been good for him. Then I learned later he wanted the South Carolina job. And I got sad. But as his top guy and a guy that's worked under a lot of different people, I think that's fantastic, actually. It's a fantastic hire. And I do think they'll be better off than with Will Wade.
Yeah.
And I think Will Wade's a heck of a coach. Oh, Craig said the women's amateurs going on in the Augusta area. They get to play the national Saturday and Sunday. Fantastic. Bobby says drunk Tiger Woods is the next golf coach at LSU. Confirmed.
I saw that pop up on the feed. I was like, oh no, Tiger. Come on, man.
Clint said, wasn't it the Blockbuster Bowl? Yeah, it was Blockbuster before it was the CarQuest. Blake said they just put out the body cam video of Tiger. He had pills too. Dude's on a bender. I had a friend that took a bunch of Xan. We were in Five Points. I think we were at, I never mixed the pills with the, I never really did much with the pills. I'm not a pills guy.
Yeah.
But some of my friends in college did. So we were at group therapy and his family, they lived kind of out Trenum Road area in some apartments. And so he had to go through Forest Acres and Shandon to get back. You know, it kind of took the back way. He loved to pop those Xanax and drink liquor. Yeah, Tangerine tonic.
Yeah.
And he ended up falling asleep at a stoplight. Sure enough, he got a DUI.
Yeah.
Moral of the story, friends, don't do it. You don't put your if you're that and you're gonna fall asleep at a stoplight, bro, just don't
do it. Downers and drinking don't mix.
Yes, not at all. Tri-State said, what are your thoughts about a guy like Malik Clark making a jump this year? I do think we have a bit of a logjam at wide receivers. You know, I hope so. I just don't know. I don't know. I think, all right, so let's I'll throw a scenario at you. Malik can go up and get the ball. And he's about 6'2 and a half, 6'3. He's not 6'5 like Gibson. Let's say Gibson doesn't quite get healthy. Mm-hmm. And you still need that guy that can go up and get it, then that maybe opens the opportunity. The other thing about Malik and Jordan Ginrod, same way. These guys, I hope they don't get discouraged and transfer out, right?
Right.
And I don't think they will, because I think they've all kind of – the coaching staff's aware of it. They talk, these guys, if they'll just stick it out next year or soon, they're going to be really,
be
really
the obvious really, first pick.
Really, right? Really good.
Yeah.
No, Blake, Clint said Carter Miller is from Kansas. No, Carter Miller is from Tennessee. Baymax is from Kansas. Hank Purvis. He said, hopefully the DTs don't treat him like dust in the wind. I'll see myself out. Hey, carry on, my wayward son.
Carry on, my wayward son.
Queen and Craig are right on Swain. I think Swain has a huge year. He was my top dude, like at the corner.
Yeah.
And I just think, you know, whereas Judge, you kind of looked and, you know, Judge, you're like, Judge and Mazio Bennett were two guys last year for different reasons. And I still hadn't put my finger on why Mazio. I don't think anybody really knows. Sophomore slump.
Must be.
But, you know, and outside of people like Tree that once we're good and all that. Those two last year, Carolina did not get what they expected out of them. If you're talking about guys to where, and I guess the offensive scheme probably did affect Mazio a little bit, but those two guys were guys they were counting on and just didn't play well, you know, judged because of the injury. But Swain, you know, he got a lot of attention for the punt returns. But if you look at how he progressed as a corner through the year.
Yeah.
I mentioned the double corner blitz. Didn't he come off the edge and force?
I believe it was. Tyson? Yeah. He and Cisse were the ones who came off of that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Bro.
And I like the way his game progressed on the edge last year. So, yeah, that's why I didn't even kind of mention it. I'm like, because if Judge Collier can step up and we already know what the baseline is for Bakari Swain, then, I mean, that you got both sides of the field covered up, and Kwesi Scott is just as good in coverage, right? So
Kilgore or who?
Not Kilgore, but like, you know, equivalent, like he could cover. Play corner if he needed to.
Hopefully, Kilgore was good against the run, but that dude could cover too. I mean,
he had a nose for the ball too. That was the other thing about,
and that's another guy. You know, he had a hamstring at the beginning of the preseason, so was not healthy. That's the whole reason Bakari Swain was returning punts. And then when he got healthy, though, Phil, you kind of saw. And that's why he's going to the draft. I mean, you just kind of saw him.
Yeah.
See, I almost wish he would have been. You know, it's a playmaker. So hopefully Quayshead's got a little dog in him, though. A little confident guy. You want your DBs to be extremely confident.
Oh, yeah.
Pimp on a blimp puts me on the spot after this.
Oh.
In the chat box. We're going to roll on. Some thoughts about TJ Sanders. More from Clint. Love reading Clint stuff here on Inside the Gamecocks Show. Haven't mentioned it yet. D's Wings, Gamecock Traditions. You know the score there. Also, download the Chief Sports app. Don't forget Four Quarter Friday tomorrow. Our all new lineup and new and improved lineup with Matt Smith and our utility man, Rob Williams. Please go check them out. Also, check out their YouTube channel, youtube.com/@Four Quarter Friday. If you're on YouTube right now, and you have not hit the subscribe button on Four Quarter Friday, do us a solid and do that, please. Please and thank you very much, my friends. We'll be back. Final segment of a pseudo smorgasbord Thursday edition of the show.
I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Emergencies and accidents happen. When you're in the middle of a fire or water event, all you want is for things to return to normal as soon as possible. Resto Pros of the Midlands is with you. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. Open 24/7 when you need them. Quality that is guaranteed.
Now is the time. Finish your hardwood floors with Recoat Revolution. Beautiful like new floors in just one day. Hardwood, vinyl, laminate, concrete, tile floors. Any floor. We can do it. No dust, affordable, and 5 stars. Give us a call in South Carolina, 803-397-1365. Or visit us at RecoatRevolution.com. Go Gamecocks.
Welcome to SEC Sunday Night, part of the Chief Sports Network. Every Sunday night at 8 p.m. on the Chief Sports app, the Inside the Gamecocks YouTube channel, and on our X accounts. Hosted by Rob Williams and Craig McMichael, talking the week that was and what's to come in the SEC. Join us every week for SEC Sunday Night on the Chief Sports Network.
Welcome to Dry Space Crawl Space Solutions. Basement crawl space encapsulation designed for your specific needs. Your crawl space can be susceptible to all sorts of issues, including moisture buildup, mold growth, and structural damage if not cared for properly. Let our trained experts provide basement crawl space encapsulation solutions to protect your home, improve air quality, and enhance energy efficiency. Schedule your consultation today for a safer, healthier space at dryspacecs.com. Dry Space Crawl Space Solutions, proud supporters of your South Carolina Gamecocks.
If you have experienced water damage, storm damage, fire or smoke damage, or need mold remediation, you need RestoPros of the Midlands. Visit RestoProsMidlandsSC.com and go Gamecocks.
Tune in every Friday at 9 a.m. to the Four Quarter Friday High School Show on the Chief Sports Network.
This seems about right.
The show loves Spartanburg. Now back to Mad Dog and Sparkle City's finest, J.C. Sherbert.
Welcome back, everybody. Final segment of Inside the Gamecocks, the show here on a pseudo-smorgasbord Thursday. Okay, we've got the chat box popping, which is good.
From it is popping.
Members. Yeah,
I mean, it's members been all coming over. All football today, man. Yeah. By the way, I do hope the baseball team finds a way tonight, and I do hope Dawn Staley and her team, and we'll talk to Alex, because it's really not it's kind of a one-item smorgasbord today.
Yeah. It
really I don't is. Ever get a chance to talk football with Rob.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're right. You know, man, we needed some football content. Some
football stuff is good.
Always good.
Clint, yeah, that's cool. Clint, yeah, I know. He says, JC, you guys have to talk about it. I don't want to underestimate the importance of spring from a development standpoint. It is. But it's not everything.
Yeah, but it, yeah.
The spring game is the thing that's really overrated. You'll think a guy is going to be good, but then it's about half of those guys are. And half of them you never hear from again. Like when I went a couple of years ago, I thought Torricelli Simpkins was going to start and be a pretty good player. Mm-hmm. But I thought Aaron Parks was going to be a good backup tackle. And apparently he wasn't. And then he got hurt and then he left. So that's just, I thought that, and the Tyshawn Russell was really good in that spring game. And then he never played.
And then didn't play and then left.
So, you know, and who was the running back? Dontavius Braswell. So, you're right. But, we got to talk about it. It's fun to talk football. Mm-hmm. So, Pimp on a Blimp puts me on the spot. Who do you think will be RB1, JC? Right now, I'd say Matt Fuller. I think they've invested in him as far as getting him to that point. Is it close? Yes. Could Christian Clark or Jawaan Howell or Isaiah be? I mean, Drayton's going to play the best one. But physically, he's taken a step forward. I've heard from multiple contacts. He looks good running it. He's hitting the hole. So with all these guys in the running back room, it's all about subtly cleaning up things. And then that's coaching at the running back position. You don't do much of it. Trust me, I got an argument with somebody on the Big Spur about it. I think there's all this that goes into it. Now, there are some running backs coaches are better than others. South Carolina was very blessed under Will Muschamp to have Bobby Bentley and Thomas Brown and Dez Kitchings, three guys that can actually fundamentally get the position going back to back to back. I mean, look at Rico Dowdle.
I mean, Rico Dowdle is the test.
Bobby Bentley did with him. Yeah. And – he got, nobody thought when Muschamp got there that A.J. Turner and Mon Denson would ever play. Mm. And those guys made plays to help Carolina win games. Were the NFL? No. Look at what Thomas Brown did, the one year he was there. Dez Kitchings got Deshaun Fenwick to play with better pad level. All those subtle things. The first two running backs coaches under Beamer have done very little. And then they've also not been great with the rotation. And then one of them, neither one could really sign anybody. I was willing to give Markwell Blackwell a couple of years, too. But he wasn't going to get any. And I don't know if Stan Drayton will get these guys in state for 27. but they have a better chance now.
I was going to say, but I think it gives you a better shot, right?
You know, and yeah. so they weren't signing anybody either, and that's mm-hmm. you can't have that. So, I mean, you know, Stan Drayton is back. He's at the level or higher of the guys that we're accustomed to around here at that spot. Mm-hmm. But I do think Matt Fuller right now, Pimp, you know, if that would be the one. I mean, these guys do get banged up, so you never know when they play Kent, but I'd say he's the slight leader in the clubhouse, but there's a lot of competition right there because they're all similar guys. They all have warts. None of them are like proven superstars. They all have potential to be very good, especially in this offense, especially if they get blocking, but they're all kind of similar. And so that's it. You don't really have a guy that you go, well, this is the speed guy and this right. is the power guy. They've got some subtle differences, but they're all kind of these same size, all that good stuff. Clint, again, I'm very much looking forward to seeing what Travian can do with this group. Gabriel Brownlow, Dendy, and Pike should have productive years, and Durajaye is interesting as well. Yeah, I think Durajaye will probably start ahead of Pike's, just to be honest about that. And Jay Diz does this and goes, adds this, heard from a friend, Brownlow Dendy is going to be a force this year. He said he's getting to another level of strength and smarts. Here's the thing about Gabe Brownlow Dendy, because John Strickland watched practice and talked about how good he was the other day too. So you got a five-star guy, that top 10 player in the country. There are a lot of big-time D tackles, many of whom are in the NFL now, in his class. And he signed with that super class A&M put together. Here's why Travian Robertson and that style of coaching is good for him. It's not that he's a knucklehead. He's one of the best human beings, from what I'm told, anybody could ever meet. But therein lies some of the issues that he had at A&M. Nice guy, right? In high school, many of these guys that have his God-given ability, it's easy. I mean, why did Albert Haynesworth, who's nothing like Gabriel Brownlow Dendy personality-wise, but Albert Haynesworth had 8 tackles his senior year at Hartsville High School, and I think they went 0-10, and went to Tennessee and started as a freshman and was killing it. It's just easy. It's just easy. You know, they can kind of get by, you know. Now, Brownlow Dendy had the film and the athleticism and all the stuff to make him higher rated than anybody else in that class. You get to A&M, though, there's a lot of competition. They brought in guys from the portal. The coach there, my understanding was that he ended up going to Syracuse, and I think he came back. It's kind of everybody's buddy, you know?
Yeah.
And obviously he developed some guys. Obviously he wasn't a bad coach, but then Brownlow Dendy got hurt. Okay. And so then there's still talent there ahead of him going into the next year. And so he's behind and he got hurt. And so, you know, how do you catch him up? I don't know. You probably need more of a developer. And then the new staff came in under Elko and they just didn't vibe at all. And they had other players ahead of them. They weren't, my understanding is they just weren't going to waste the time. They wanted guys that could go play. And so there was not a lot of development that took place there. South Carolina has taken the approach with him to embrace who he is off the field. But the constant thing is get him meaner, tough, get him physical on the field. He's not a soft guy.
Yeah.
But I think he lost confidence and was kind of just ho-humming along until he got to South Carolina. When he played last year, I thought he was good.
Yeah, he played.
Was he great? Did you look out there and see and say, he's a 5-star guy? No, because he wasn't dominant. But he played. He played 300 snaps and dealt with some nagging injuries. That's another thing. He's got to stay healthy. Now you got another year and you got Travian there, and it's all starting to click. From the on-field mind, separating the on-field mindset with the off-field mindset. And there's a lot of players like that that can turn it on and off, but you have to be developed that way. And you have to have a coaching staff that's willing to kind of meet you there, right? And I don't know that they did that at A&M with him. And it's not like he didn't give it time, man. He was there 3 years. You know, he gave it time. The position coach, the Elko staff, and that's why he got in the portal. So, yeah, Clint, if he can be, and Jay Diz, if GBD can get out there and be a terror this year, that's going to be big.
Yeah.
Big.
Big.
Figuratively and literally. You get him and Jordan Thomas going on, and, you know, you could even see a situation where they could slide Kelby Collins back out the edge or out the edge at 275 pounds. Because you got GBD and Jordan Thomas at the bigger spot, and then Tommy Wah and Troy Pikes are kind of similar sized. So I don't know. Just talking. JDS talks about TJ Sanders was great at diagnosing plays and shutting them down fast. Yeah, you couldn't block him. And with TJ too, you know, it took him a while to get to that consistency.
Right.
Remember the game he had against Georgia in 23 is amazing. Right. Well, the rest of that year, maybe not.
Yeah.
You know, up and down.
Yeah.
But 24, yeah. I've thought about people that have seen his entire tape. Yeah, there's a reason he's second round draft pick.
Yeah, no air guitars were safe in 24. It was just, yeah.
Clint says great size for GBD, NFL potential. Yeah. Oh, Quentin says I'm dressed like a Wazoo fan. Yeah, Washington State. Fight, fight, fight for Washington State. Oh, you got a sign for the pizza man. Is that, on Rosewood? Last time I was in the Pizza Man, it's 2015 Clemson Carolina game. I was dating a Clemson fan at the time. I bought some tickets, but they weren't very good. They were up under the zone, in that end zone. Yeah, I couldn't see real well. This is our first Clemson Carolina game she had been to with me, and I don't think she knew not to talk smack. And so I was like, I got to leave. You know, Carolina's getting beat 14-3, 21-3, something like that when we left. So we go to the Pizza Man and grab a pie, you know, the great thin crust and a few beers. We're watching it. Carolina starts to mount a furious comeback. As I sat there and watched the rest of that game, Clint says, Krager's a big Christian Ingram guy. I'll be interested to see how he comes along. He has incredible size. Yeah, and that may be a guy that gets in the mix this year, but he may be another year. You know, but I like him too. I'm with Craig there. Clint says Pete's dad press coached at Daniel and Clemson, apparently. Blake says the 24 game they had to put Vicari on Bryant Wesco because Judge was getting beat badly. It was at that moment I knew Vicari was going to be special, seeing him lock up Wesco and press man. They did.
Mm-hmm.
They did. Clint says Pistol would have gone to Clemson, but dad was hired at LSU. Oh, Maravich's dad, Press, was the coach at NC State, but Pete couldn't get into state academically. I didn't know NC State was that hard to get into academically. Mm-hmm. So he left to take the LSU job. State replaced him with alum Norm Sloan and won a natty. You got to get Mike Morgan to tell you about Norm Sloan basketball camp. Norm Sloan ended up being the coach at Florida.
Yes.
Well, nobody understands. Like, this should give you hope, Gamecock fans. I'm just gonna point something out here about men's basketball and how sometimes it's just like, well, you know, it can turn pretty quick. You just got to get the right guy. So Florida men's basketball and football was not much better. Football at least like Spurrier won the Heisman. They had been to the Sugar Bowl. They weren't super duper, but they, you know, they ended up, you know, they did more than Carolina probably before Spurrier. Then Spurrier got there and they took it to the next level. But they were in men's basketball. Florida was atrocious. I mean, just badly atrocious. They did not go to the NCAA tournament until 1987. And they beat NC State. Norm Sloan was the coach of all people. They beat NC State in the first round, upset Purdue, and lost Syracuse. Then they went in 88 and 89. Then Sloan left. Then Lon Kruger got there, and they had one. Lon Kruger was kind of their Frank Martin. He had 1 year. We went to the Final Four, made one other tournament, and then he was out. And then Donovan gets there and just takes it to what it is now. But before then, they were god awful. I mean,
Never heard anything about Florida basketball, right?
Yeah, they were the worst program in the SEC prior to Norm Sloan taking that job, right? But now Florida's winning championships again. So nationals, you know, they don't just win. And so you never know, you know, and you have a situation where, Vernon Maxwell and Dwayne Schnitz has played for Norm Sloan back there. And they call it the modern era. That began in 80. Sloan, after NC State and then the championship, went there and, went to Florida and got it going. They went to the 69 NIT. So that's the deal. Norm Sloan actually was the coach there twice. I was not aware of that. He was there. He was there for a little bit before, and he was at the Citadel before that. Anyway, Mike Morgan went to basketball camp under him. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'm just saying. Florida basketball was god awful, like worse than South Carolina ever had a chance to be. South Carolina does have some history and a Final Four and, you know, some history. Florida had none, and you saw where it could go. Oh, think if Malik Clark can crack the two deep, that's a really good sign for him, Harrison says. Yes.
Yeah.
And Tri-State wants them all to be patient. We all do. Trey Cigar is one of the most important prospects in this class, Clint says. Maybe. I agree. I love him. I think he's elite. Or he's a blue chipper. But they, all six of these guys at running back have eligibility left, don't they?
Yeah, because Augusta redshirted.
Yeah, they all do.
Yeah, everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It'd be interesting. I would like to see them pull at least one of the two in-state running back. Like, I think Aiden Gibson or Trey Segura, they both are top-tier prospects. So, yeah, you got to get at least one. Both would be great, but who knows?
I also think this, man. I think that as long as Trey doesn't, like, depend on when he commits – you know, Carolina's probably got some catching up to do there. I think Tennessee's strong. I think Penn State's got – now Clemson's fallen off with him.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Mm-hmm. So we'll see. Okay, so, yeah, Blake, I'm not going to touch that. No, Chaco says, JC and Phil, tomorrow will be my four-year anniversary. My beautiful wife, Vangie, flying to Vegas with my Gamecocks gear.
Yeah, man.
Oh, I got a bone to pick with Phil on sort of this subject.
Happy anniversary. Oh, to me? Oh, what, on anniversaries?
No, I didn't know it was your wife's birthday last week. You said nothing about it on the show. If I don't get on Facebook, I don't know.
Oh, I did. I didn't say it until you
didn't say anything.
The combo show, and you had to bail because of the phone call. And I did bail.
Oh, my God. I saw, because I finally got on, like, if I'm on Facebook, I'm working on the ITG page.
Right? I'm bad about it. Even when I look at Facebook.
Yeah, dude. And I saw this, thanks for all the birthday wishes. And I'm like, I just put my head in my hands. and it was Allie's birthday this week. I'm gonna send out a Chief Sports email. Send me everybody's birthday in your immediate family.
That's right. We're going to put them in there.
I'm going to tape it to my wall. Right.
I know.
Because if I mean, mine's easy to remember. It's the day after Christmas.
Right.
And our friend Skip, he's the day after Halloween.
Yeah.
So he's, the first of November. You remember those easily. Yeah. And my friend Joel, he was born 18 days before me. So I always remember his. These March and April, there's too many in March, April, and May.
Really are. It's
crazy.
It's a bit excessive.
I felt like a horse's patoot. patoot, sir.
That's all right.
But happy anniversary, Chaco, man. It's having been married now for like two years and 3 months. It's a wonderful life. Wonderful life. Blake says he loved GBD's comments a couple of weeks ago. Seems to accept the leader role, put the development standard for the young guys on his shoulders. That was much needed. He's got it in him, dude.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's got a lot of good in him.
Yeah, and happy anniversary to Blake, too. I don't know if we acknowledge that, but his was yesterday.
Oh, yeah, I skipped that, Blake. I apologize.
No, we're good. Yeah, we just want to get clear out all the personal stuff from the chat box here.
Venus Pie, Blake talks about. Favorite pizza restaurant in Spartanburg. Everybody like Venus Pie, you know, but it used to be a place called Patelli's Pizza before it was Venus Pie. They had a Patelli's. Down. If you wanted the local pizza, not go Domino's, Pizza Hut, Pizza Inn, Patelli's was where you went.
Knew a guy that worked at the Pie in Spartanburg there for a while.
Oh, so yeah, dude.
Real skeevy dude.
A lot of stoners that work there in Spartanburg. Oh, Russell says, talk about falling asleep at a stoplight. I know someone who was driving and pulled over by a state trooper on foot. I got pulled over in Spartanburg by a cop on a bike one day, but I wasn't under the influence of anything. It was in the middle. I think I was going to lunch or something. It pulls up. It's like, excuse me. Like, look like Fire Marshal Bill from Jim Carrey in his biker shorts and his hat. And I just kind of looked at him like, are you serious right now? It is Dean, you know, it's like, excuse me, sir. Oh my God.
I used to get a little uptight around the stadium back in the day when I was younger and would do stupid stuff like that, you know, in games. I'm like, yeah, you know what? They're not going to pull us all over.
Ben says, Ben's throwing some ACC history out there. Pete Maravich wasn't going to Clemson. Didn't have the SAT score. Yeah, that's one of the reasons Carolina left the ACC was because they had ridiculous, like, conference-wide.
It's just wild, like, because of the three schools in that area, the Tobacco Road schools, like, NC State is not the one that I would imagine you hear about. Well, preventing you from getting
it was it was conference wide though, and that's one of the, that's why Carolina and Clemson, because Carolina and Clemson were like, well, hey, we care about football here, we have to recruit against Georgia, and because there was the ACC SEC, the SEC schools, they didn't have that. If you were NCAA eligible, you got in. The ACC had this higher deal.
Yeah,
and then Carolina had a guy, and it was Duke, North Carolina, and then they ended up changing the rule anyway because they got sued after Carolina, a year after Carolina left. It was crazy. Clint says, I think Cigar is better than any running back on campus. You know, I'm a running back guy. Yeah, I think talent wise, you're probably right based on what we know now. Now, what will happen this year? Who knows? Quentin said the NC State admin would have gotten Pete Maravich in. And Ben said, that's why Press Maravich left. See, that little rule really cost the ACC a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Chaco said that his wife is probably listening. Great.
All right.
Man, I'm so happy for you, dude. Vegas, that's a great trip, my man.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
That'd be a lot of fun. Get out there, do a little gambling, a little drinky-drinky. It's the point where the weather's getting warm out there now. Although it's not as warm as you'd think in April. But, yeah. Queen says, I used to live down the street from Venus Pie. I love that place. Guy that used to own it had a Dead cover band named Rubber Canoe. I remember Rubber Canoe. He had a drug problem, so he moved to San Francisco for easy drugs. Dear Lord. Dear sweet brother Noopsy.
Zero lies detected.
Krager wished Dina a happy birthday. Please run up. My good Lord. Ah, I feel like a butthole. Oh my goodness, Phil, let's get out.
Well, I didn't hear that you didn't do that until like yesterday. And
You know, I didn't know. It's
yeah, I know. Yeah. No, I know. I'm
did sure she even text me something on like a funny video? So I was like, that's a great video, bro. Please apologize to her and tell her I'm going to blame you.
I will. I'll tell her. You fell on his sword today, honey. You can watch it on the show.
I did. I just realized because on Facebook, I was like, oh, today's Dina's birthday. And I was like, oh my God, it's March. That says March 27th.
Because she mentioned it and she was like, you know, even Nat reached out to me. I'm like, what?
Because Nat got on Facebook. I'm blaming her too.
That's right. She should have said something.
She should have said something. I always tell her, like,
birthday today.
Like, Nat doesn't remember any birthday. She doesn't remember her son's birthday. I have to remind her. Like, her friends, I'm like, hey, it's Char's birthday today. Oh, really? Oh, thanks for reminding me. And it's a relatively large birthday, you know, in the grand scheme of things. This is not some fringe character in my life.
Right.
My best friends on earth. Oh, y'all just let me down.
We did. We should.
Good night in heaven. Woo. Oh.
So, but listen, there's like four in March that we have to remember, right?
Yes.
The Twins kick it off, I think, you know, and then it just rolls on. And
but it's your responsibility because you know what? I could miss your birthday easily too.
Yeah.
I believe it's in May.
It is in May. Okay, right smack in the middle.
Good. All right. Right near my stepson and my wife.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I get a text from Dina. It's Phil's birthday tomorrow.
It's,
so you dropped the ball, sir.
I should have done a better job there. I did
the
not
mad dog back, dropped.
I let
the
you
ball.
Down as a wingman. I'm
oh my lord! I looked at it. I was like, I even thought it may be AI or she had been hacked. So I'm like,
I figured that it was getting enough traction on Facebook that it would have made. Like Facebook would have like forced you.
But see, I don't get on my personal page.
That's
ever.
True. We just
I'm
do
on my
on
ITG,
ITG
page.
Yeah,
and the ITG page is actually growing, so I've actually spent even more time.
Right.
So I didn't get on my personal Facebook page for like a week, and I went to share Jamie Bradford's baseball coaching search report. By the way, you guys, InsideTheGameGuys.com. Or go on our socials. It'll have the link to that. Some interesting stuff about Schnall and some other candidates. But, man, it's just, good Lord have mercy. I couldn't believe that. It's like, no.
Wait, hold on.
Jay Diz's brother is good friends with Phil and Dina, which means I may know your brother.
Wait, who is your brother, Jay Diz? Wait a minute. Why have I never put this together?
I don't know. Anyway, we'll find out sooner or later. For the mad dog who let me down. Happy birthday, Dina. That's late birthday. Way late.
Oh, wow. Yeah, okay.
Oh, hold on.
Oh, man, we go way back.
Oh, I don't know Tyler. I don't know.
No, I went to school with Tyler since elementary school.
From way back.
Babe. I'm like, when I say way back, yeah.
That's awesome.
Good people, the Waddells.
The Wayes. Mm-hmm. All right. For the mad dog, who's not my friend anymore. For my wife, who's let me down. Probably getting divorced later. This is JC Sherbert. It's been a wonderful pseudo smorgasbord Thursday with Alex and Matt in tomorrow and a host of guests on the morning show. No combo show tomorrow. It'll be a 4-hour tour. Hope you get out if you're in Columbia to Founders Park. They're having some kind of like Western t-shirt. There's promos every night, which kind of speaks to the program when Texas is in town and you have to have, you know, you're having a promotion. I mean, they didn't have Dale Murphy bat night back in the day when like the Yankees came to town or whatever. I don't know. But anyway, Krager said Schnall got red ass when asked about the South Carolina position yesterday. But yeah, there was no denial.
Right. Yeah, you know what?
I'd be red ass too if somebody's asking me about it.
That's right. But there was one thing I noticed he didn't say in all of that.
I'm not saying they'll get it. I just think it was crazy. So JD says, I've hung out with JC through Dina several times, but it was downtown Greenville back in the day. What the hell? Probably remember you, dude. I don't know. I'll ask Dina if she'll ever speak to me again. All right. This has been the show. We're out.